Welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm Seth Bosted. I'm excited to be in the WQXR studios in New York City for another of our recurring segments that we're calling Soundword. And what this is I will be joined by Phil Klein, who is a composer and one of those interesting, strange people who listens to so much music. He's one of the most knowledgeable people I know about music. So I'm going to be talking with him about different pieces. We're both going to bring in a couple of pieces, and we're going to play them for our listeners, and then we're going to talk about them. And Phil is with Q2 Music. Q2 is the internet's premier contemporary music stream. So this is a great partnership between the WFMT Radio Network and Q2 Music at WQXR. Phil, I'm going to go first today, I think.
Cool.
We both brought in two pieces. Two of the pieces that we brought in are a little too long to play today in their entirety, so we'll excerpt them. One of those is String Quartet No. 2 by composer Ondrej Adamek. And this is a composer that I brought in. I don't actually know much about him. I looked him up online, but he doesn't have a lot of bio material out there, so I can't tell you too much about him. I can only say that I heard his music for the first time a couple of weeks ago in Warsaw. We were at the final concert for the Warsaw Autumn Festival, and I was completely blown away. I'd heard music now for going on 3 weeks, three concerts a day, and I should have been burned out. This is the time when you just, yeah. No more music, please. Anything. I just want to watch Star Trek and go to bed. But nonetheless, I was blown away by this piece of his. It was a theatrical piece that used the singer very well. It's kind of a new thing that composers are doing where the singer or the instrumentalists are required to do more than just play their instrument or sing. They're also these human beings on stage who can stomp their feet and laugh and walk around in interesting ways. And that was basically what Warsaw Autumn was this year. It was all theater and opera, so it was pretty interesting to see. But this singer was absolutely incredible. Her control, because there's a lot of controlled glissandi in her singing with the orchestra, and she's perfectly in tune, even when she's between the pitches with the orchestra. It was really a phenomenal performance. I was totally blown away. So I went and looked up his SoundCloud page, and listened to a lot of his music. I'm going to play a little bit of his String Quartet No. 2 today. It's subtitled Lo que no contamo by Ondrej Adamek. It's being performed by the Institute for New Music, Berlin. Thank you. Well, even just sitting here in a radio studio, I found myself leaning forward intently at the end of that piece. I can imagine the audience would have been doing much the same. It's an interesting sound world. That's a little bit of String Quartet No. 2 by Ondrej Adamek, a composer that I had not heard before, have not met, don't know much about, but I heard his music at Warsaw Autumn, was blown away, thought I'd bring in that piece today.
Now, did that piece sound a lot like the one you saw?
In many ways, yeah. The one that we saw was a little more extroverted than this piece.
Larger group?
Larger group. There was a singer, mostly not singing text, mostly melismatic kinds of things. She's doing a whole lot of glissandi bending with the orchestra, but he's instructed her to also move her hand up and down with the pitch. It was, again, a kind of a sense of humor. It was very funny what she did. She was very theatrical. She would move her body as her pitch went up or as it went down. In this very kind of not self-conscious way at all. I mean, it was perfect. It's the kind of thing I think he knew exactly who he was writing for.
I don't know anything about this guy. I never heard of him before. He's from Switzerland, but lives somewhere else now?
Yeah, I think he lives in Paris now. But, you know, that piece was very inspired, in my opinion at least, by Japanese music, which is similar to the string quartet we just heard. And the singer was Japanese-Hawaiian. And as I listened to this string quartet, we were just talking about it. I mean, it's the shamisen, or as you said, the Hawaiian guitar. Maybe.
Slacky guitar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kodo, whatever.
I mean, he's clearly inspired by that sound world. And he's not afraid to let things develop very, very slowly over these large-scale structures.
How old is Adamek?
He's a young guy. I think he's like in his early 30s. Yeah. He's won a lot of European prizes, very few performances in the United States, as far as I can tell. Very little going on here. But I think he's a great composer. Interesting guy.
How can one actually obtain his music?
He's got a SoundCloud page. Yeah, so if you go to relevanttones.com, or perhaps we can put it on Q2 as well, it's Ondrej, O-N-D-R-E-J, Adamek, A-D-A-M-E-K. And he's got a SoundCloud page full of stuff.
This kind of access is going to be a continuing theme in today's program, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
For example, the first piece that I brought in today is a string quartet by Swiss composer Jürg Fry, who is a member of Vondelweiser, the mythical collective Vondelweiser. They're a small group of composers, mostly Northern European. They've been around for about 25 years now. And they're sort of on the edge of everybody's conscience, which I think is where they want to be. Their music is somehow seems to have the collective notion of coming out of silence. They always reference John Cage's 4 minutes and 33 seconds as kind of like the forebear of their music. Jürg Fry is right in there, and he's written a couple of string quartets. Numbers 2 and 3 have gotten a lot of attention, and they are both on the edge of audibility. A remarkable sound performed by a pretty remarkable group, the Quatuor Bozzini, they call themselves. They're from Montreal, and they are total masters of contemporary string quartet style. So this is string quartet number 2, which was written between 1998 and 2000. And I will remind you that this is Phil Klein from Q2 Music in New York. I'm here with Seth Bosted from WFMT. This is Relevant Tones. You're listening to Soundword. This is Phil Klein from Q2 Music in New York. I'm here with Seth Bosted from WFMT in Chicago. And we were just listening to a bit from the String Quartet No. 2 by Jörg Fry, performed by the Quatuor Bozzini. They're from Montreal, a remarkable new music group. And that is one wild string quartet.
Not in the conventional sense of wild, in a highly restrained.
It sort of sounds like, in the basement of heaven, the janitor down the hall is moving some large cafeteria tables, and this is what it sounds like from 100 yards away.
Something like Jean-Paul Sartre's basement of heaven.
I don't know what.
Existentialist basement of heaven.
That is the most unusual sounding string quartet ever, and it stays like that for half an hour.
And that's, the thing with Vondelweiser, it's not a sound per se, it's a philosophy. And this is something that, they've kind of struggled to articulate, but it's a philosophy.
I love the fact that they have to struggle to articulate it. It should be that way.
It's no surprise that Vondelweiser came out of Europe, in my opinion. I mean, there's so much new complexity, so much very complicated modernist music there. And these composers said, no, we want to go the opposite direction.
I like the fact, though, that they sort of, the way that Vondelweiser came together, like it started out with like an Austrian and a German, and then a Danish guy came in, and then a Swiss guy. And there are a couple of Americans in there too, and they in 25 years they've gotten up to about 20 members. In another century there'll be 30 or something, but no, they're an amazing group. There is, by the way, a Jörg Fry String Quartet No. 3, which has gotten a lot of buzz. It was premiered last year, I believe, at Huddersfield, also by the Bozzini, but it's not possible to hear it. Actually, I think it is coming out on Editions Vondelweiser, so if you want to check that out, go to vondelweiser.de. And they have the info.
But as you listen to that music, especially if you hear it live, I mean, it's a half an hour of that happening. So it's going to transform you if you can get into the right headspace to get all the way through the piece. I mean, if you're not in the right headspace, you're just going to want to leave.
Yes, absolutely.
If you can calm yourself down and slow your metabolism and get into this space, then it's I think it's a remarkable experience.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine in the right size hall with total silence around you that could be a pretty amazing experience.
And you're listening to Relevant Tones, a show featuring the music of contemporary composers. Today is one of our recurring segments called Soundword, in which I am joined by Phil Klein from Q2 New Music, and we bring in music for each other and talk about it. To subscribe to our podcast, or for streaming versions of this and all previous episodes, you can visit relevanttones.com.
This is Phil Klein from Q2 Music in New York. I'm here with Seth Bosted from WFMT. This is Relevant Tones.
Let's go from that to, something completely different.
Okay.
This is a composer that I brought in. He sent us this CD, and I put it in and listened to it, as I tend to do. And I liked it. I didn't like all of it, but I like this piece, A View from Above. This is a composer in Ireland called Benedict Schlepper Connolly.
Are you sure that's not a James Joyce character?
In his bio, he says that he slept in his crib with James Joyce's The Dubliner, so maybe.
Does he adopt?
No, I'm kidding. Oh. He could have adopted this persona later on in life as a composer. He spent many years in the Netherlands studying with Peter Adriaans, and he doesn't have, Adriaans has, in my opinion, a more aggressive kind of sound field sound. There's a lot of textures in his sound, and there's very little phrasing or breathing in Adriaans' music. Schlepper Connolly isn't like that at all, and yet you can still hear definitely the influence of Dutch minimalism, absolutely. I always thought Dutch minimalism is a little different than American minimalism. It has more of a bite to it. There's a little more, especially, in Louis Andriessen.
The Andriessen school, yeah.
Absolutely. There's just a little bit more of a, it's not quite so, it doesn't flow quite so consonantly. It's not afraid to bear
some teeth. He's not trancing out.
Yeah, exactly. But Schlepper Connolly is a little different. He's a producer as well. He definitely exists in the ambient world. There are some of his pieces that are very clearly from the kind of DJ world. So this piece for string quartet is a sort of hybrid of that. It starts off with everybody pitsing and in a minimalist, repetitive minimalist pattern, and then they start to bow just a little bit at a time, and it goes from there. So let's have a listen. This is the Robinson Panoramic Quartet, and they're performing A View from Above by Benedict Schlepper Connolly. Thank you. That's a little bit of ear candy for our listeners. We're going a different direction there from the rest of the program today, I think. It's a beautiful piece. Benedict Schlepper Connolly is an Irish composer. He sent me this new CD of his. He's a really prolific guy. He's already put out like 10 CDs or something. He's a producer in addition to being a composer, which is perhaps a smart thing to do and to be. And he's
a producer of other kinds of music?
Mm-hmm. He's produced other composers as well.
Like pop stuff, dance stuff?
I think definitely a little bit of dance stuff. Judging by the rest of the CD, there's a lot of electronic kind of dancey background things going on. Which for me, I always feel just doesn't quite work in the concert environment. I mean, you know, if we're meant to dance, we're meant to dance. If we're not, we're not. but you know, being a producer, I think, really is a huge boon for him in terms of putting out music. I mean, he can, you know, he's got decent musicians. He can get them in the studio, get the music out, which is a great thing. So the piece is called A View from Above, and that was the Robinson Panoramic Quartet, which I should mention is violin, viola, cello, double bass. Perhaps the quartet is named after Malachi Robinson, who is the double bass player. That would be my guess.
I have to confess something. I first came in contact with this music when you sent me an MP3 of it the other day. And it was right in the Dropbox, and I just clicked from there, and nothing happened. And I clicked it again. And then all of a sudden the music started playing, and I was like, oh my God, the precision of these guys, the way they're hocketing and playing all this stuff in close canon. I realized I was listening to three of them at once, which was really cool, but it also sounded pretty cool the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'll send that suggestion to the composer. He is a producer, after all.
Well, imagine those pizzas in the beginning if they're going...
Exactly. Who is this quartet? And you're listening to Soundword. I am Seth Bosted with Relevant Tones, here with Phil Klein from Q2 Music.
And now we've got something that came on a stick, music on a stick. It just so happens that several of the pieces that we played today, we got from SoundCloud, which is one of the ways you can have music delivered to you now. I subscribe to it. I believe in it. But Ryan Muncy's new record, which is called Ism. Ryan Muncy, by the way, is a sax reed player, well known for working with ICE, the International Contemporary Ensemble, which pretty much dominates everywhere. Ryan is an amazing player, and he has a new album out, but one of the pieces sort of had a separate release. We got it sent to us on a little flash drive, and it is a realization of a piece by James Tenney, the great California experimentalist, passed away about 10 years ago. And Tenney was, actually right now it seems like his stock is rising, let's put it that way, which is a good thing. He was a very prolific composer who was always sort of on the edge of fame. And he was everywhere. He was in San Francisco in the 60s when things were happening there. He was in New York also in the late 60s, early 70s when things were happening there. And spent most of his time in California. And his music, I don't mean to make comparisons, but there's a bit of Terry Riley, a bit of Steve Reich, a bit of Lamont Young. There's a microtonal thing. There's a raga thing. But there's also just like sort of unremitting brilliance, philosophy, craziness going on in it. This particular piece is called Saxony, and it is intended to be performed by a person who can play one or more saxophones, preferably several of them, onto an open tape loop that just keeps going. I've heard a few versions of it. There was one released on CRI 10, 15 years ago. This one is beautiful. It's about what you'd expect from Ryan Muncy. It's a clean as a whistle, sharp, precise, gorgeous, dynamic. Now, since this is a 25-minute piece that evolves slowly, I think what we'll do is sort of elide it a little bit with a couple of bits crunching. You know, you'll get sort of a quick overview of the piece. Thank you. an ecstatically brilliant performance of James Tenney's Saxony by Ryan Muncy. That's from Ryan Muncy's new CD, ISM, I-S-M, on New Focus. And if you're not familiar with Tenney's music, just to like quickly put him in perspective, he was born in the 30s. He died in 2006. He had a lot of teachers. He was all over the place. But among his teachers are people like Edgar Varèse, Carl Ruggles. And later on, he was one of the major teachers of John Luther Adams. In between, he was active in San Francisco and New York, and he was one of the original four performers of Pendulum Music by Steve Reich. So that's James Tenney in a nutshell.
Another thing about Tenney, too, is I think this piece that Ryan Muncy, as you said, has performed so brilliantly on this album. I mean, that saxophone, by the way, all of those sounds that you're hearing, that's really an impressive feat alone. But it's very typical of Tenney in a way. If you think of the piece that we were talking about, that Dal Niente, who Ryan used to run, actually, did for a solo gong at their... I saw them do it at a concert called The Party a couple of years ago, but it's essentially a giant crescendo, but he's not afraid to take his time with it. And as it's happening, and you realize, okay, this is just going to be a gong crescendo. That's my first thought, you know, the sort of cynical part of my brain. But then you start to hear all the little colors within the gong, and then it becomes almost deafening, and then it fades away again. This whole thing happens over about a half hour, just like the piece that we just heard. It's very typical Tenney. I mean, to find those little sounds within the sounds.
Sounds easy, but not everybody could do it.
Yeah. Exactly, and especially on the performers.
Yeah.
And again, it's a great performance by Ryan Muncy. And you've been listening to Soundword. It is a recurring segment featuring myself, Seth Bosted from Relevant Tones, and Phil Klein from Q2 Music. And the idea is that we bring in music for each other that we haven't heard before. It's new for us, new for our listeners, and we talk about it. Simple idea, but a lot of fun. And you can hear these Soundword segments on demand at relevanttones.com, or you can access a 24-hour stream of this kind of music at q2music.org. Relevant Tones has been produced by Sarah Zwinklis, and additional production help provided by Rebecca Neidstedt. Relevant Tones is made possible by the generous support of the Aaron Copland Fund for Music and the listener supporters of WFMT. I'm Seth Bosted from the WFMT Radio Network, Chicago.